section. We will not exhaust the complete alphabet or even every subject in the book of Proverbs, but we'll cover a lot in our series on A to Z of wisdom. We already started this. This is going to be part two. So I will just maybe give the main points of what we covered. And then we will continue tonight and, Lord willing, finish up our message on correction. The Bible says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Isn't that amazing? Reproofs are the way of life. Are you easily corrected? That's the way of life, if you are. So we know in the book of Proverbs, there's many words and phrases that convey this concept of correction. One would be rebuke. Here we have reproof, chastening, smiting, wounds, and then the rod. And we know from all of God's word, in Proverbs as well, by way of illustration, many examples, that man is defiant by nature. Man has deviated from God's standard. So basically, you tell someone to do something like, "Well, you can't tell me that. I'll do it anyway." Isn't that the nature of man? Not saved mankind. I'm talking about unsaved. You know what rebellion is, right? Mankind needs correction because of this deviation, because of this incorrect heart and life. Now, as we understand the whole Bible, only salvation can bring true change to the heart. And that's what we saw this morning. A new heart for a new man. But now, even up to that point, you may have children that are not saved, young people and people you know under your care. Do you know that if we implement the principles of Proverbs, then it can reduce the damage done in their lives until they are saved? So just because someone's not saved and you're dealing with them, you don't say, "Well, they're not saved, I can't do this to them." Yes, you can. Your children, you got to raise them up. God said, you know, the rod is for all children of all ages in the sense of until they have wisdom. And sometimes we give up spanking too soon. So God's principles of correction process, His process served to protect us and society. Just think, if someone would obey the instructions, stop. Get down on the ground. Put your hands straight out. Don't move. How many lives would be saved? Just because you obey authority. Just because you don't want to believe that's authority. They are authority, and God establishes authority. So you want to fight against that, then you will suffer consequences. Sadly, they want to take that authority away. So there is no authority. But this corrective process, what we're learning in Proverbs, protects society as a whole. You remember when you were in school as a kid, some of us, I got whipped when I was in school by my teachers. I got stripes on my bottom. Literally stripes. Now you know what kind of student I was at times. Proverbs reveals us God's perfection, amen. Therefore showing us our desperate need of God. Correction will come our way. And if we respond to correction the right way, it will result in a better and beneficial life. It's the way of life. The sooner the correction process, the better chances are of receiving salvation. Number one, we saw... I'm sorry, I didn't bring that up, did I? We already went over this. The means of giving correction. We know the Lord. We've already established this. A father. 23 times, my son, can be found in Proverbs. My son. And then an employer. Proverbs 29:19. And then a teacher. Proverbs 5:13. The government. Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 24. And then a friend. Amen. Aren't you thankful for a friend who will take time to correct you and confront you? Amen. Emily's sitting back there all alone. Hi. The means of giving correction. Number two, the manner of giving correction. And unfortunately, well, unfortunately, some will receive it. We have throughout, we know what wisdom is, and we talked about the wise already. We did find out there are wise, and there's scorners, there's the foolish, there's the simple. All these different characters throughout this book. But the wise will receive correction, amen? And the Bible says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. That kind of shows our heart. Are we a person that wants God's wisdom? Then when we get corrected, we're, hey, who are you to tell me? You'll say, thank you. I'll consider that, you know, and then the more you think about it, it's like, I need that. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. The reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can beat a fool 100 times and just talk to a wise man and that reproof. And that's basically, think about it. That's when you stop correcting your children and disciplining them with a rod, is when they finally listen. And do what you say. That's wisdom. So now they're displaying wisdom instead of foolishness. If they keep displaying foolishness, then they must be punished. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Did I already go over that? I didn't go over that yet, but I will one day show you the whole list in Proverbs of what you should spank over. It's you don't have to like, should I really, does that deserve a spanking? No, God says precisely everything that deserves a spanking and everything. Then you can say, here's my list of rules. You do this, this, and this, this, and this, and this, you get spanked. We don't have to. We can have wisdom. We can do what God says. So I need to get that together quickly because I keep saying it and I haven't told you the exact precise thing. So aren't you thankful that there's the willing? The willing are those who have an obedient ear and are submissive. And they wear it as an adornment. That's nice. So This is, it says, as an earring of gold and as an ornament of fine gold. Ladies, do you like these things? So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So, in the Bible, earrings were worn as a sign of submission to a superior. And also as adornment. So this is the idea of that Proverb 25:12. But aren't you, we have to say, unfortunately, some will reject, and this is where we get through that list, and I think we already did this. You have the simple, the scorner. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. And then a fool, well, the simple is, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? You know, why are you going to stay a person who always gets in trouble by following someone else? The simple. And then we have another list here, the sensual. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, says Proverbs 12:1. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. Brutish. That's in the Bible here. Go there. Go and look at that. Brutish. What does that mean? Brutish is someone who acts like a beast. A brute. And really the idea is savage, carnal, sensual, uncivilized. A man, a person who acts like an animal, are they going to be corrected? No. So the simple, the scorner, the sensual or brutish man, do not. Then we have the suffering. Proverbs 13:8. The ransom of a man's life or his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. 13:18, same chapter. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. How about the poor? Some choose poverty. Why? They choose poverty through drugs, through alcohol. Their parents warn them, like the prodigal son. They reject the counsel of others and the parents. And then they say, you're going to end up in the poorhouse. You're going to ruin your life. And they do, because they reject counsel. They suffer because they're not easily corrected. How about God says, 6 days thou shalt labor. The Bible's very clear. We should work. And God will honor that, and we will not be in poverty. Some are poor because they reject financial counsel and spend their money unwisely and get into too much debt. So they're suffering, rejecting counsel. The simple, the scorner, the sensual, the sufferer. And then there's the stubborn. I think this comes up again, the same verse, so let's go there. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, that's the stubborn person, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. A man first hardens his ear, doesn't listen, then he hardens his heart, then he hardens his neck. There's no, right there, when you harden your neck, you're going to be destroyed and without remedy. God has no good commentary in the Bible about a stiff-necked person. God said through Moses. He said, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. See how God felt about that? The stiff-necked, the stubborn. His wrath. Remember what we talked about Sunday school, the wrath of God? The methods of administering correction. We have reproof. Now, reproof and rebuke, we're going to define them. Let's go to some verses, just a few, because it's over and over in the Bible. Go to Proverbs 1, 23. So we are going to help other people. Sometimes we have to reprove them, rebuke them, do we not? Proverbs 1 and 23. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Then jump down just to verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And then verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. You know, when you read that, it's like the Lord speaking. The Lord's saying, why are you not listening to me? But really, it's wisdom. Wisdom personified, you know, speaking to us. But it's the Lord, amen. I have a whole list. I won't continue. Now look at rebuke. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8, verses 7 and 8. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth to himself blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. 13, 1, just to get another verse. A wise man heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Same chapter, verse 8. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. So these words, what do they involve? They involve admonishment, warning, convincing someone, showing their error and their wrong way, and censuring them. Sometimes it's being forthright, stern, even severe in administration. It's not mere advice that may be taken or refused, but it refers to a serious chastisement by the use of words. A serious chastisement by words. That's reproof and rebuke. And then we have the rod. Here we go. Some verses that talk about a rod. We're not going to get into our study on that right now about foolishness. But I do want you to understand a rod is a stick or a staff used in correcting or chastening. What we have recommended and used all of our lives is a dowel rod. A thinner type dowel rod. Like a switch, you know? Good old fashioned switch. It doesn't do any physical harm, but it sure stings. It hurts. It sends a message. That's the rod. It's real. It's not figurative. It's real. It's a real stick. Now let's go to the verses. Proverbs 10, 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. The rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. 13:24. Now I ask you, do you have more wisdom than God? How many of you have more wisdom than God? You think that you know better than God that spanking is wrong. You know better than God, don't you? How does that turn out in society, in life? Well, here's what God says. You know what God says when you don't spank? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. You're displaying hatred when you don't spank in God's eyes. Meaning, it's like you don't care about them enough to correct them. And God says, that's like hating them. That's serious. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So, we got to love on our children a lot. I love you, and this is why I'm doing this. Really? I could think of other ways to show love. Also, 22:15, this is with that good verse that we can build on eventually, and I will build on this when I bring that list. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, right there is, what does Proverbs, how do we define foolishness? What does God say is foolishness in Proverbs? Make a list of those verses. And it says that the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's what you use the rod on. Everything that God says is foolishness, then you spank for that. Maybe you should do the study. Just start looking it up. Foolishness. But I will come back to that. Proverbs 23:13. 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Do you believe that God uses this process of discipline in the biblical way, and loving in a biblical way, right? To bring children to salvation. Yes, he does. That's what his word says. 26:3. A whip for a horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for a fool's back. And then 29:15. Just to kind of give you the list of these verses. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So we have a lot of verses here that we should meditate on, and we'll come back. So these are the methods. We use reproof and rebuke and a rod. Now the misery for failing to be corrected. Or failing to correct. I have a couple, there's like two passages here that deal with this. Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 22, and we know the long passage here about failing to be corrected. What happens here? What's the misery? What are the consequences? 22-33. And then I'll make the list. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. Now the second passage is chapter 5:7-13. Chapter 5, verses 7 to 13. Let's read it. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy ears unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear, excuse me, to them that instructed me. We'll stop there. So let's go through now and break down some of the consequences. Number one, as we've seen in chapter one, there will be disaster in your life. Calamity, destruction, anguish, distress, says the Bible in these verses. That's what he says. If you don't listen, dread. Proverbs 1:26, dread is there. We read it, but I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Dread, fear. Let me say, I understand there's a lot of things that go on, and I don't have all the answers. But I do have to say this. There are many phobias today that we should not have because we reject God's wisdom. We do not fear the Lord. You see, God is our shelter. God is our refuge. God is our rock. God is our fortress. And if we reject Him, He says right here, not only that, anguish is going to come upon you, distress, fear, dread. You know, when these things come, denial. God's going to say, all right, you want me to rescue you now? Now that you reject me all your life? Now that you've turned your back and all of a sudden you want me to... I know your heart's insincere. You're making promises to me and you're not going to deliver. You still want me to deliver you? There's times God's going to say, I'm going to laugh at their calamity. Isn't that sad? They're going to seek me. They're not going to find me. They're going to call, I won't answer. For they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Brethren, there is some truth in this. I know God's long-suffering, but He's just. He's holy. He's righteous. Sometimes He just says, okay, you didn't want me? Okay, my hands are off. Go ahead now. You live all these consequences. And He's going to let you see it through. All those consequences. Not going to be nice, is it? God refuses to listen to the person who refuses to listen to Him. That's what this teaches. Death. Death. Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Death. 15:10. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Dishonor. Go back to the Proverbs that we read, 5 now. Verse 9. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. You know, it's talking about shame here. Do you know that in the olden days, criminals would be put in stocks out in the marketplace? It was to be punished by embarrassment. They should be embarrassed and shamed so they don't go back to that crime again. Oh, we don't want to do that. Everyone has rights. You lose your rights the moment you take away someone else's rights. You, friend, you lose your own. That's justice. Common sense. Wisdom. And some people are like, that's wisdom. They don't even understand common sense anymore. Debt, poverty. Proverbs 5, verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Isn't that sad? And the truth of the matter is this right here. This is immorality, infidelity. You know, people who are out there having relationships, they're giving their wealth to another woman. Your wealth's in the house of a stranger. And you're impoverished yourself and your family, but you're giving it all away to someone else. That's what he's talking about in Proverbs 5. Disease. Thou shalt mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And I read the news. Sometimes it just pops up somewhere and here and there, and I read things. Do you know that syphilis is a thing now in Houston? There's over 700 cases of syphilis. Disease. But I wonder today how many children have lost a limb or an eye because they didn't heed the instruction of a loving parent or grandparent. We need to get back to God's word. And listen, and I preach this, but we need to get back to God's word to see what He says about food, about temperance, about moderation, about the body, about drink, about medicine. Listen, it's all in here. It's all God's wisdom. Double-mindedness. Proverbs 10:17. And I'm coming to the end. Don't say amen. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Erreth means to vacillate. You see, when you heed a correction, when you heed a reproof, when you heed the word of God and the wisdom of God, there is a standard, a guide by which you order your steps. But if you refuse God's standards, God's wisdom, God's corrections, God's warnings, then you will vacillate. There'll be a life of wandering and vacillation. Isn't that how most people live today? Just wandering around without direction. Double-mindedness. Not knowing where to turn or what to do or what are the solutions here? What are the answers? Brethren, we need to stay close to God. God's going to guide us. God's going to give you answers to your needs. God's going to give you answers to real life problems through His Word, through His wisdom. And you're going to be able to walk close to Him, and He's going to protect you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to help you and your family and your children, and He's going to really bless you. But we have to seek His wisdom and obey Him. Despite Proverbs 15:32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Those who refuse correction, you know who they hurt the most? Themselves. How many of you can look back in your life and regret that you didn't follow the counsel, godly counsel in your life, in the areas of your life? Thank you for being honest. How about godly counsel? Maybe you did grow up in a Christian home, your parents or your grandparents. Godly counsel of the preacher. You see, what's going to happen? We're really, when we refuse all this, we're despising our own soul. We're bringing hurt upon our own lives. I think we've heard sufficient from God's word concerning correction. How to give it. How to receive it. What God expects of us as parents, amen? What God expects of us as friends. If we love each other, then we will be willing to confront, correct, reprove, rebuke. No rods, though, amen? Only your children and the civil authority. They carry not the sword in vain. Amen. So I see here God's wisdom concerning correction. Do you see some wisdom here? Is there something you need to change? Something you need to apply? Something you need to get right in your heart tonight? Whether you're giving or receiving. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening to God's word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Then we'll have a moment of invitation. If God's working in your heart, certainly you should respond to His call, to His conviction, to His correction, amen, to His reproof, to His rebuke. Let's not despise his teaching and his correction. Father, tonight we thank you for the wisdom that you give us, and we thank you for your word. It's a wealth of wisdom. It's a treasure. Father, we thank you for giving us ears to hear, giving us understanding. But Father, we want to be obedient. We need grace. We want to put these principles to practice in real life. So help us, Lord, to glean from your word, to be able to remember these principles and these verses, and then to go back and use them in specific life situations. Father, we need your wisdom in life. And so we ask you tonight to work in our hearts, work in our minds, work in our lives. And Father, give us that humility. Help us to be wise, to open up our hearts and to receive everything that you have for us, even when it is correction, reproof, and rebuke. And we know, Lord, that you use the rod and of chastening on us, and we know it's not literal, but it is chastening, it is punishment from you to bring us back to where we need to be. So we thank you for your love, Lord. Whosoever the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We thank you for that. Father, bless now this invitation time. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a moment of invitation. Will you come? If God's working in your heart in this area of correction, maybe.